Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Kings 14. I'm sorry, 13. I was wondering who's going to show up today. Well, one non-staff person. You're going to get a special blessing today, for sure. Right? 1 Kings 13. Now behold, there came a man of God from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord while Jeroboam was standing by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar by the Lord of the word of the Lord, and he said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a son shall be born to the house of David, Josiah by name. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and human bones shall burn on you. Then he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is a sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be split apart, and the ashes which are on it shall be poured out. Now it came about when the king heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that Jeroboam stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Seize him! But his hand which he stretched out against him dried up, so that he could not draw it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes were poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God, Please entreat the Lord your God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, and it became as it was before. Then the king said to the man of God, Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, If you were to give me a half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, You shall eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return by the way which you came. So he went another way, and did not return by the way which he came to Bethel. Now an old prophet was living in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the deeds which the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken to the king, these they related to their father. And their father said to them, Which way did he go? Now his sons had seen the way which the man of God who came from Judah had gone. Then he said to his sons, Saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode away on it. So he went after the man of God and found him sitting under an oak, and he said to him, Are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said to him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go with you, nor will I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. For a command came to me by the word of the Lord, You shall eat no bread nor drink water there. Do not return by going the way which you came. And he said to him, I also am a prophet like you, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. So he went back with him and ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it came about as they were sitting down at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And he cried to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, Thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the command of the Lord and have not observed the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but have returned and eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, Eat no bread and drink no water, your body shall not come to the grave of your fathers. And it came about after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk, that he had saddled the donkey for him, for the prophet whom he had brought back. Now when he had gone, a lion met him on the way and killed him, and his body was thrown on the road, and the donkey standing beside it. The lion also was standing beside the body. And behold, men passed by and saw the body thrown on the road, and the lion standing beside the body. So they came and told it in the city where the old prophet lived. Now when the prophet who had brought him back from the way heard it, he said, It is the man of God who disobeyed the command of the Lord. Therefore, the Lord has given him to the lion, which has torn him and killed him, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke to him. Then he spoke to his son, saying, Saddle the donkey for me, and they saddled it. And he went and found his body thrown on the road with a donkey and the lion standing beside the body. The lion had not eaten the body nor torn the donkey. So the prophet took up the body of the man of God and laid it on the donkey and brought it back and came to the city of the old prophet to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his body in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. It came about that after he had buried him, that he spoke to his sons, saying, "When I die, bury me in the grave in which the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the thing shall surely come to pass which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel and against all the houses of the high places which are in the cities of Samaria." After this event, Jeroboam did not return from his evil way. But again, he made priests of the high places from among all the people. Any who would, he ordained to be priests of the high places. And this became sin to the house of Jeroboam, even to blot it out and destroy it from the face, from off the face of the earth. Amen. All right. This is a crazy passage. Okay, I just want to just state that before we get in there. It's a very unique passage. So let me try to break it down, and I'll try to do an extra special job today, since it's a bad storm. This prophet is unknown. Some scholars believe it was probably a prophet named Iddo, but who knows? May have been, may not have been, but it's unnamed. And he goes and he gets a word, and this word is like pretty powerful, because he basically predicts the birth of Josiah and what he would do. I mean, he. By the way, Josiah is born 360 years later, and he does exactly what this prophet says. So this was a true prophet. So he comes and God is just so turned in his stomach towards what Jeroboam has done. And this is just one generation removed from Solomon and two generations from David. And so can you imagine, Jeroboam now has gone and established the high places, and we talked about what the high places are. He goes through this whole thing, and so the man of God says, this is the word of the Lord, that you're basically going to be punished. And all these people that you set up, you know, this son is going to come, and he's going to be the redeemer. That's why, you know, the kings, if it was just strict genealogy, Josiah would play such a small role, because he was really a small king. But yet, his spiritual impact was great. And so there's going to be a lot that we're going to learn from Josiah moving forward. And so you have that picture. And then, obviously, Jeroboam is convicted by this, because he's the one who started these high places. And so he is so convicted, he basically tells his men, you know, in this way, seize him. And while he's in the place of worship, and then, you know, his arm withers. And he basically, it's kind of like, if you look at a movie, it almost kind of decomposes, basically, in front. And so he can't stretch his arm out anymore. And so then that happens, and whatchamacallit? So Jeroboam goes to the prophet and said, "Oh, no, please help me, pray for me." And the word is actually quite strong. In our language, it says, "Please entreat him," but he's saying, make the Lord softer on me. And I understand, like, we're entreating the Lord. What we're saying is, let the Lord's kindness, let his softness be upon me. So he entreats the Lord, and then the crazy thing is, this prophet heals Jeroboam, and his arm is restored to him again. I mean, this is an incredible miracle that takes place. And then the king basically says, "Man, you know, you're the man. I can't believe this. Please come stay with me. I'll give you anything you want." But the man of God had a clear word from the Lord. Don't eat anything, don't drink anything, and don't even go the same way that you came. And the idea of the eating and drinking, it wasn't necessarily about the fast, but it represented what eating and drinking with someone meant. It was fellowship. It was a kind of a partnership there. And so he said, don't do that. Don't even go on the way. In other words, you're going to be totally anonymous. This is the idea of the nameless and faceless. And so he does. He obeys the Lord. He goes on his way. Now there's another prophet, and he's an older prophet. And I mean, this is the weird part. The motivation behind, I don't know what motivated him. Maybe he's like, "Oh, crap. You know, I'm supposed to be the prophet here. God sent another prophet," and so maybe he feels like his identity is threatened, or whatever the case may be. But his sons tell him what happened, and this guy realizes, man, I need to connect with this prophet. He finds this prophet, and unfortunately, then he goes and he lies to this prophet. Verse 18, and he said to him, I also am a prophet like you. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. And so, if he was a prophet, he was a bad guy. He may have heard from the Lord, but he was not a good person. Let's start with the first lesson here for us today, okay? Sometimes we as Christians, especially those that have a charismatic bent like we do, sometimes we elevate the gifts so much in the life of the church. We elevate the gifts so much in people's lives. And, you know, if someone were to come here and let's say that someone showed up this morning and started prophesying over each of you and just shared the most intimate details about your life. I mean, just so accurately, over and over again. And then maybe some of you guys were sick and the person prayed for you and you got healed instantly. Trust me, your allegiance would be with this person, correct? I mean, that's typically what happens. But the reality is this person may not be a very good person. And this is where the Bible talks about the gifts and calling are irrevocable. In other words, remember, the gift is a gift. The gift is a present. A gift, there's nothing that you do. There's no merit in your own. It's just a gift that's given to you. And so in that way, when we think about this gift or how that's laid out for us, it's not anything to do with our merit. It's a gift. But you need to understand that gifts can be misused in many ways. And that, and this is one of those real mysterious things that, you know, I used to think about all the time. I don't think about it anymore. I just understand that man is evil. and that basically helps me to wind through a lot of different things. And no matter how gifted somebody is, man is ultimately evil. And so, remember Jeremiah, talks about that the heart is just wicked. And it says, who can understand it? And I just have simply come to that conclusion. I love mankind, and I think man does great things. But in the heart of hearts, man is wicked. And so I don't make any allusions to that. A couple of things happen. One particular, I remember I was really sad one day because I heard about this prophet in the States. And I really respected this man of God. I mean, I really, really respected him. And he actually prayed for me. He called me out in a church that's probably about 1,000, 1,500 people there. He called me out, called me by name, prophesied. I mean, it was incredible. And then I found out after I moved to Hong Kong that he actually fell. He had homosexual tendencies. He was also an alcoholic. And it's just, I mean, my mind was, I couldn't believe it. This is crazy. And the accurateness of his words and healing gift, and it's like, surely, you know, and I've been around people that also have been prophesied by him, and it was just incredible. But he had a very public fall. It was really, really, really quite sad. The prophet, his name is Paul Kane. Some of you guys may be familiar. You know, you can Google him. It's common knowledge. It's all out there anyway. But man, it just really opened my eyes, and I realized, wow, don't elevate the gift. Don't ever elevate the gift. Right, you always elevate the Lord. You always bless the giver and not the gift. We honor the gift, but don't elevate the gift above and beyond. And this is a thing that a lot of charismatic people make. If someone is really gifted, you know, in our lives, we automatically assume that they're mature. We just think, wow, this person is so gifted, they must be mature. And then we give them platform and we give them title and, you know, authority in these things, but they're just gifted. They're not mature. And so don't make that mistake. Just because someone is gifted doesn't mean they're mature. And so, trust me, I've seen a lot of gifted people at Solomon's Porch. And we've probably seen a lot of gifted people at House Church. And we know, man, this sucker, man, this fool, she is not mature, you know, or he is not mature. You know that really, really well, right? If you don't know that, talk to any pastor on staff, and we could tell you 10, 15 stories, you know, about people who are very gifted. Oh, okay, don't bother the staff. You can just talk to me. You know, people are very gifted, but that totally immature and may even use their gift to manipulate people. Think about this. How many of you guys have ever heard, and it's almost embarrassing telling this type of story, you know, but I mean, I've had a few times in my life where, you know, I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you're supposed to be my husband. You know, the Lord spoke very clearly, and, you know, and then to up their game or to prove their credibility, oh, I had this vision, or this other, you know, prophetic person told me this is true. It's pure manipulation. And that's exactly what this guy does. We don't really know why he does this, but he does it. And he tells him, and he says, an angel spoke. You know, an angel didn't speak to him. You know who spoke to him? His son spoke to him. Right? It wasn't no angel. And so he ups, and he uses his double speak. He ups the game. Now, be very aware of this, okay? He tries to up his own credibility by going and appealing to another higher source. In this particular case, an angel. When you're in a situation and someone is trying to take advantage of you in this way, a lot of times they're going to appeal to a higher source. And you should not listen. Listen. The Lord told this guy, and we tell this guy's an accurate prophet. The Lord told him, this is what you need to say, because I mean, he's basically rebuking the king. He's putting his life on the line. And so much so that the guy actually turns and tells him, right? And he says, seize him, and his hand withers up. He gets healed, and he says, don't eat, don't drink, and don't go the same way. That was the word of the Lord. Next thing you know, another person comes, and he shares with him, oh, yeah, I'm a prophet too. That could be a true statement. I'm a prophet too, and in fact, not only a prophet, but an angel spoke to me, and I have the word of the Lord for you. Yeah, forget what the Lord told you last time. Come and eat with me, and go the same direction back to where we came from. He violates three stipulations. He violates all three stipulations, and then he dies. Another crazy story: a lion sitting next to the donkey kills the guy, doesn't eat the donkey or eat the body, and just stands there watching guard over this body. I tell you, this is a crazy chapter. And so all these things happen. And so, let's go back to the old prophet. But he lies. He manipulates. He has some kind of agenda. We don't know what it is. But brothers and sisters, be very, very careful of that. Be very careful of someone saying, oh, I had a visitation from an angel. You know, I had this. And, you know, trust me, I've seen a lot of people that use their spirituality as their kind of what gives them value or what gives them worth. And this happens sometimes. Maybe someone, before it was their work and their success in work, and that was what gave them worth and value, and they became a Christian, and unfortunately their life was not transformed, and now just their value and worth, before it came from their work, now it comes from their spirituality. And when you run into those type of people, it becomes very, very dangerous. You know, our worth only comes from God. And the moment now people just replace, and that's what happens to Christians sometimes, they just replace their issues and they replace it with spiritual issues. And it becomes a difficult thing. Notice what Paul says. And Paul in Galatians chapter 1, and this is good warning, good advice for us. In verse 8 he says, but even though we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Therefore, as we have said before, I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to that which you receive, let him be accursed. In other words, you know, we can kind of think through this passage going back, and Paul's saying, look, I clearly explained the gospel to you. If we come back and we share a different gospel, or even if an angel comes, you know, a higher authority in that way, and preaches you a different gospel than you have received here. And remember, he's talking to the church in Galatians, and so there are specific things going on with the Judaizers and these type of things that are basically telling them to go back to being Jews, right? And so this idea, in order to really be a Christian, you need to follow all the Jewish things. And so Paul's saying, no. If someone preaches you a different gospel, even an angel, he says that person is a curse. The word actually is in Greek is anathema. This is the greatest curse that you can put on somebody. And so he says this. Now, brothers and sisters, when we come to the place and you hear a word from the Lord, okay, the only person that's going to change that word of the Lord is the Lord. Amen? Right? Like if you, let's say, you know, something random, let's use the dating thing again. And let's say someone says, the Lord speaks to you so clearly that this person is going to be your wife. You don't let circumstances or the other person's opinion or whatever the case may be throws you from that. Now, obviously, don't tell the person, right? Because that's manipulation. Hey, the Lord told me that you're supposed to be my wife. That's just the dumbest thing to do. Don't do that. Just keep praying. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to keep praying. You know, God spoke to me a couple of years before God spoke to my wife. And you ask my wife, you can trust me, if I went to my wife and say, hey, the Lord told me that you're going to be my wife, my wife would have fought against that for the rest of her life. But the fact that I didn't say anything and I just prayed and then sure enough, I was right, or the Lord was right in that regard. And so you don't try to do that. But in the same way, though, in that when you hear the Lord, and someone else says, hey, the Lord told me that you're not supposed to go for her, you're supposed to go for somebody else. Listen, if it's important to you and it's important to the Lord, God will speak to you himself. Don't let someone else come and be the intermediary from your relationship with the Lord. What the good prophet should have done is should have gone back to the Lord and say, God, is this the new command that you've given to me? Is this the new word for today? Are you saying that I should go, I should eat and I should drink and I should fellowship and go back the same way? And God would have surely said, no, don't do that. Because this guy's lying. And, then it continues on. I mean, it's such a stark warning for us, especially in those areas of the prophetic, right? Guys, don't get overly enamored with the gift. It's a gift that's meant to bless the body of Christ. I mean, I believe we're a prophetic church and we believe in prophecy and we practice it regularly, more so in the house churches, than on Sunday services. But when we do that, we pray for people. But man, don't go overboard, on this. And don't assume that just because someone's gifted that they're also very mature. There's a lot, and that's how people get hurt a lot of times. And that's how people get disillusioned and these type of things happen. And so don't fall into that kind of trap like this prophet did. I mean, we honor the office and we honor the prophet and all those type of things, right? But don't put that in a level that's above in the same level as God. It's not. And don't elevate people in that way. People are just people. I mean, they're sinners just like us. They go to the bathroom just like us. They put their pants on, one leg at a time just like us. It's not the only thing that makes them different is the grace that's on them, and they can't take credit for that. It's grace. It's a gift in that regard. All right. So, let's close our eyes. Now, the one part that I really don't understand is. He goes and he buries the good prophet, and then he asks his sons to bury him next to the prophet. Maybe he feels guilty or something. I don't know, but very strange story. But we can draw some little conclusions for ourselves. Going back to the prophetic, honor the prophetic. Be biblical. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Desire earnestly the spiritual or spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So we can make this conclusion that if you're not asking the Lord for prophecy, you're not really being biblical. Because he says very clearly, desire earnestly. Remember, present tense, progressive. which means that you should constantly be desiring. Better translation is keep desiring spiritual gifts, especially that you should prophesy. So we honor the gift, but really the prophetic, even when prophets come our way and they share a word, that word should really be confirmation. In other words, it should be confirming what God has already been speaking to you about. Don't let the prophetic be the replacement of your relationship with God. You go to hear word so that you can bypass going to God directly. That happens a lot too in charismatic churches. So people are just lazy. They don't want to spend the time with the Father and hear from Him. And so they'll hear from the intermediary. Really, the value of the prophetic in the life of the church is really in the issue of confirmation. It should be confirming what God the Father is already speaking to you about. We need to have a healthy relationship with the prophetic. We also need to realize that prophetic people are flawed people as well. They're also sinners in need of a Savior. No one is at the level of gospel or scripture. Everyone makes mistakes. That's why Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 to judge the prophecies. So let's pray. Let's ask God, particularly as a church, that we would have a really healthy, biblical perspective and relationship with the prophetic.
When it's all about about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, when it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Let's pray. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for the church. Let's pray that we would have a really solid, healthy, vibrant, but biblical relationship with the prophetic, with the gift and the office. Let's pray for our community. Let's lift up our friends and family members that are battling through cancer and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray that the Lord will reveal himself to them. Let's pray for our community that are dealing with non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing. Pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray over the storm that's going through. Pray that it would not adversely affect the people here in Hong Kong. Let's continue to pray for the government and the new chief executive will be coming in soon. Let's pray for a smooth transition. Let's pray for against the wealth gap, that the Lord would really move upon our government to resolve this in some way. Let's pray for revival. Pray for the churches and ask Holy Spirit to move upon them. Pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, CSW, Mother's Choice, the Korean Church, and let's continue to pray for stressed out Hong Kong students here. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our staff. Let's ask God's hand to be with each member as they give themselves to the Lord. Let's pray for their families and for their health. And just the Lord really use the staff to build His house. Let's pray for our hospitality ministry. Let's pray for welcoming and the barista. Let's ask God to really use them, our team, to really be wonderful welcoming force here at church. Pray for our worship and sound teams, our AV teams. Let's pray for a heart of worship and excellence with our leaders and musicians and all our PowerPoint people, that we would just put up excellence before the Lord, but more so the heart of worship would be there. Let's pray for house church tonight. Fontana, Garden, Hopewell, Kowloon, Lion Rock, Old Peak Road, Soho, TST, and Westville. Let's pray for a Holy Spirit to lead our meetings tonight and that there would be such such community and growth and just real love for the Lord and each other would flow. Let's pray together. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the word today. And even though we may not understand completely, God, what it means, but we get an idea of how you want us to live it out here now, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that you really would give us a real, healthy, biblical relationship, God, with the prophetic. Lord, we want to honor it, God. We want to respect it, Lord. We want to just really receive it, God. But at the same time, we recognize, Lord, that you're still working through humans, God, that are frail, that are sinful, Lord. And so give us the right perspective. And I guess more than anything, what we're praying for is discernment, God. And so help us individually and help us as a church as it relates to the prophetic and prophets, Lord. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today. Lord, keep Hong Kong safe, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow. And stay dry and safe.